children. What are we gonna do to show we care? How are we gonna be there for our children when they feel that life has just not been that fair?
Good evening and welcome back to Masks Weekly Radio Show on Family Matters. Mask, mothers and fathers align. Saving kids, kids of all ages and all stages, for mental health issues, including addictions. If you know somebody that needs a referral for a mental health therapist, an inpatient or outpatient facility, if you know someone that possibly is out of school, possibly has an addiction, needs a rehab, please feel free to call MASC, Mothers and Fathers Align Saving Kids, and we are at 718-758-0400. Our confidential, it could be anonymous, helpline is open from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. And maybe you want to write it down for yourself. Self, a loved one, a neighbor, maybe someone you sit next to in shul. Please write our number down, 718-758-0400. We've been talking in the past several weeks about so many different conversations of different areas of trauma, of addictions, of painful mental health situations. And I am very, very happy to have on with us tonight someone that this is their specialty, trauma, and that is the very, very amazing, famous Jerry Abelson, who's the clinical director of INTBURO. Hi, Jerry. How are you?
Hi. Good evening. Nice
how
to
you
be
doing?
With you.
Yeah, nice to have you on. I know that getting back after the holidays, everybody is so busy. So we really appreciate that you are on with us tonight. And I'd like to thank INTBURO Developmental and Consultation Center for being the sponsor of tonight's show. INTBURO has several outpatient clinics. There is one in Flatbush, there's one in Williamsburg, there's one in Crown Heights, there's one on Stillwell Avenue, and anyone that wants to get more information could call INTBURO. I'll give you the Brooklyn number, 718-778-0485, and they will be able to guide you to which of the facilities that would be helpful for you, or call MASC directly and I could make the connection for anyone. INTBURO has been amazing. They're an outpatient clinic. Jerry, why don't you speak about them a little bit first to start off with, please?
Well, we are an outpatient clinic that works with any families and children and adults ages zero and up. We have an early childhood program and specialists in child emotion and parent emotional interactions. We are also, by the way, in Canarsie. You mentioned our Coney Island office, but we're also in Canarsie. And we're a wonderful organization that treats people sensitively and caringly with a great deal of understanding of cultural and community concerns, with a group of therapists that speak multiple languages, Hebrew, Yiddish, English, of course, Russian, and are ready and willing to help you in any way we can.
Yes, Inspire is amazing with also working with scheduling appointments, making sure for those that, you know, are nervous about being seen in the waiting room, there are ways of working with that issue. You do take many insurances, and they work with many different areas, and you know, not only trauma, but in all, you know, areas of mental health, divorces, bipolar, schizophrenia, all mental health. I don't need to mention all of them. I'm just mentioning a few. But, and all ages for prevention as well. I know at MASC we have some of our staff, our interns that interned here from Wurzweiler. They went on, graduated, and are also working there for many years, and they really enjoy working there and helping the CLOW. So anybody that's interested, please call MASC, and we'll try and connect you to the right facility, whether you want to go in your neighborhood or you prefer going out of your neighborhood. You know, the Canarsie office, by the way, is very close to Flatbush. The Stillwell office, also very close to Flatbush and beautiful. And if you live in Crown Heights, you can go to the Williamsburg one, or, you know, you live in Williamsburg and you don't want to go to the one in Williamsburg, you can go to the one in Crown Heights or Canarsie. So it really, you know, makes it so easily accessible to so many neighborhoods. So again, feel free to call MASC and we'll try and connect you. So, Jerry, today we are talking tonight about trauma. And just so that my listeners understand the true definition of trauma, can you please tell us what is trauma?
Trauma is an event. It's a combination of things. It's an event. It's an experience of the events, and it's the effects of those events. So something could happen to a person like a car accident, or somebody could be in a severe illness, or somebody may have been being abused or has been abused. The events may vary and the impact may vary. But first, the event is something actual or a threat or an observation of some kind of physical or psychological harm, or life-threatening situation. These events can be individual or they can be multiple. And then the way the person experiences that event, whether they have a lot of support, whether it's happened to a lot of other people at the same time, they may have different responses to it. And therefore, the effect of it may be different. But it's something that's out of the ordinary and striking in such a way that affects one's sense of self in the world and their belief about who they are and the people in the world, how they are.
So you mentioned, you know, something causing the trauma, for instance, when others go through the same thing. So possibly there are suicides, so they're, you know, many times could be copycat suicides. When there are people talking about molestation publicly out there, and someone was molested, that could bring up a lot of emotions, a lot of trauma for that person that's hearing about others that are going through similar situations they may have gone through. So let's talk about the different kinds of experience that can cause the trauma, please.
Well, somebody could be exposed to some terrorist act. In the world we live in today, it's not unheard of or unusual anymore. Somebody could have been physically assaulted in the middle of a crime. Those are events that happen in the public. They're not private events. And then there are the kind of events that are private. So a molestation, a physical abuse, Those are the kind of things that are usually very private, where they're kept secrets, or people that you know or that care about you aren't supposed to be acting in that way, or strangers. But they're very personal and they happen to you. Then there are developmental ones, like a significant caretaker dying, and that's the one person that's always been there, or a parent getting deathly, physically or emotionally ill, and therefore not be able to caretake the same way. So there are different clusters of events that could cause it, and yet some people may say, yeah, we see that kind of thing every day, it doesn't affect us. For some people, it's like what I describe as a seven-layer cake. You know, if you put an extra layer on that cake, it may overwhelm it and the icing oozes out. You know, the filling oozes out. So sometimes a person can be affected by one event, and sometimes it takes years or multiple types of events for a person to feel the impact of the trauma.
So if somebody is molested when they're 10 years old, the parents may not even know about it, or sometimes have been told, you know, maybe the child did share with their parents or somebody about what happened, but it may not come out for years later. There's PTSD. I'd like you to talk about the post-traumatic stress disorders that can develop later on at another time when least expected.
Yes. This is what I mean by when I talk about, that's what I'm talking about when I talk about that how people are affected by it. So something happens, and let's say a molestation happens at one time, although most events of molestation for children are chronic and over a period of time. But somebody might not, the child might not want to tell anybody about it. They may be a good achiever. They may be very successful. And you might not notice any kind of impact from the event, or think, oh my God, they're coping wonderfully. And then suddenly there's a car accident, let's say, or there's somebody else gets injured, or they hear a story about another person, and some of the memories, some of the feelings, it's almost like when somebody says they're overloaded with stress. You know, they're managing, they're handling. It may be when they decide to apply to go to Israel or to go to a university, there's a life-changing thing, and suddenly there's some sort of vulnerability that they feel that they haven't really felt since the event, because they have enough support, enough security in the world, enough people involved, and suddenly they're going to be, let's say, on their own or in a different setting, and the fear or the anxiety comes up, and it's really what might appear to be greater than norm or greater than you would expect from this high-achieving person. But it's really that it's a trigger to that initial vulnerability they felt when they were first traumatized.
So why do some people seem to cope with a lot of traumas and others get PTSD?
Well, once again, there are multiple reasons that I'll go through. One could be just how frequent the trauma it has been, how often it is, how complex and chronic it is. Some of it, I remember being at a conference with somebody that was in the Six-Day War and was just fine for years, and then 20 years later, buying his daughter an ice cream cone, he had a complete traumatic breakdown out of the blue, but there was stress going on in his life at that point. So there could be pre-existing mental illness. There could be a lack of social support. It's why it's so important that military people are in units and they go together in a unit. That's a social support. There could be the availability of resources or the lack of it, and the general level of stress and ability to cope. So those are some points. Some of it is also the type of trauma, a sexual trauma versus a natural disaster, a shared trauma versus a personal trauma. A shared trauma, you have more social supports, more people involved in processing it. Also, very often when there is early trauma, there also is very often, there may be family stressors, there may be divorce, there may be multiple, a new child coming into the family at the same time. There could be all kinds of social complex things. Grandma might be ill at the same time that create more of stressors. And then you have resilience, being able to turn to family members, being believed, having support groups, feeling good about how one responded to the situation in the face of danger, even though it's happened. They may have better coping skills. The people that see the glass half full instead of half empty sometimes are more resilient. And then ultimately being able to feel that you can do something or somebody will protect you despite how fearful you've been. All those different elements affect how the person's own biological makeup, even beyond whatever their environment gives them in terms of support. A more anxious type of child, biologically more anxious type of child, might respond with and be more vulnerable to getting PTSD than another.
Absolutely. Resiliency is something that plays a huge part in trauma because, like you said, the support part, if a child goes home and shares what's going on, what happened to him or her at any age, and the parent responds, in a positive way and does something very responsible about it and gets the help and looks into the situation the right way, we know how important that is in reference to the healing process of the victim of the abuse. So that's really important. But with resilience, like you mentioned, it really depends on the nature of the person in general, whether they're a weak person, a strong person, and all like you described. So we have with us Jerry Abelson. I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to add just one quick sentence that just says, sometimes the really looking good, successful kids are struggling underneath, and they need to be noticed as well.
Absolutely. So once again, we have with us Jerry Abelson, LCSW Clinical Director of Innsboro Developmental Consultation Centers. And they are in Brooklyn, Williamsburg, Canarsie, Crown Heights, Flatbush, and on Stillwell Avenue. Anyone that wants to reach them, please feel free to call MASC, or you can call 718-375-1200, and they can help you make an appointment for all mental health issues. From what ages again, Jerry?
Zero and up.
Zero and up. All the way up. Everything is very confidential and they take insurance. So Jerry, let's go back to When should somebody seek help?
Well, that's, you know, that's an interesting question, because sometimes I've gotten calls from schools and they'll say, oh, this just happened. This young girl was just molested. You've got to talk to her. And I really encourage them not to force the talking, even though it's a very important part of healing, before the person's ready to. You know, you want to be open to it, that you want to make it available, you want to show concern, but when you do see symptoms or signals that a child may be acting more anxious, more childlike, more dependent, you really want to try to get an evaluation in. But when it comes to teenagers, sometimes you want to let them pace it a little themselves with a little bit of soft, gentle, but present encouragement. But the good thing about this is trauma is one of the most treatable conditions that somebody could experience. The brain heals, the brain grows, people thrive even in the face of the traumatic event when they're given the support and treatment that they need. And that's something in a world where there are so many unknowns, it's really wonderful to know and encouraging.
So you mentioned the trauma and the effect of the brain. Can you talk a little bit more about that, please?
Well, without doing a whole scientific outline of what goes on in the brain, I'm going to try to keep it as simple as possible. We all as humans learn by gathering more and more information. We learn our ABCs, we learn words, we learn sentences and comprehension. When something traumatic happens, there's no file that's been already established in our brain to fit it into. And as a result, the multiple parts of the brain are scrambling. So the part of the brain that's the emotion center and perceived threat, that means that they're going to feel fear. And fear is, and if it's cumulative, they're going to be more and more triggered out by less and less stress. The part of the frontal part of the brain that where we learn and we problem solve, and that then copes with the emotional things that happen, gets a little haywired. It may be because we didn't even know how to cope with it. It may be because it's so overwhelmed that it doesn't know how to solve the problem. And then we have we can have memory loss, we can have depression, we can have inflammation in the body. The whole higher level of the brain is very vulnerable. And because of that, learning, when a child's been traumatized and they're struggling with learning and problem solving, they may have more difficulties in school. They may be the person might be less able to be calm enough to think and reflect and integrate information. So it's a complex system, the neurobiology of the brain, but we're really, science is just amazing, and brain science is really at the forefront of understanding what happens and how it gets affected and how we can help.
Jerry, what are the signs of trauma in children? If you can tell us some of those, please.
Sure. Well, there are multiple signs of trauma in children, and I would say that the two biggest pieces that will be noticeable, although I'll go over a number of them, is what I said earlier about the regression. You know, a child that's more independent suddenly becoming more dependent, more clingy, less able to do the skills that they've mastered already. Or it may be physical regression. A very, very common symptom is bedwetting after a child has been toilet trained. That this, it usually signals some distress, or it might be just the opposite, like withholding bowel movements. All of a sudden doing baby talk when they are quite articulate. That regression is one broad but filled with multiple signs. The other is the loss of imaginative play. You know, as kids develop, their play becomes more and more complex, and their imagination very rich. But because traumatic events can overwhelm the emotional resources, sometimes children can struggle to remain playful and imaginative. Sometimes it's very repetitive or unimaginative, or even symbolic of the traumatic event, and the child is repeating the event in play. Changes in sleep, appetite, nightmares or difficulty falling or staying asleep, anger or rage, difficulty being soothed, again, difficulty in schools with grades. Usually with adolescents, that's the time to really move in, and while they're still achieving and feeling like they can handle it. You know, they're not too receptive to therapy. It's when they start seeing the effects. Withdrawal from, you know, previously trusted adults. Stomach aches, headaches. Shyness or acting out socially or with peers. Those are the major signs of trauma with children.
There's so much more that we can talk about. We're running out of time. If anyone wants to speak to Jerry Abelson, the clinical director at Innsboro, feel free to call MASC. We'll try and connect you to her. And our number is 718-758-0400. Thank you, Jerry. Thank you for always being available.
You're more than welcome.
Thank you. We'd like to thank Innsboro for sponsoring this evening, and I'd like to wish everybody a very good evening, a beautiful Shabbos, and always remember, hang in, hold on, hug tight. Thank you, and have a good night.
Kill the cancer, keep your prostate. Maimonides is the first and only hospital on the East Coast to offer the next generation focal HIFU treatment for prostate cancer. Maimonides expert physicians were among the first in New York to use minimally invasive robotic surgery. And now, Maimonides is again leading the way with the latest, most precise focal HIFU, high-intensity focused ultrasound. This state-of-the-art technology selectively destroys the cancer cells within the prostate down to the millimeter, while leaving the healthy areas of the prostate intact and functional. No radiation, no scars, fewer side effects. The Maimonides Prostate Center is the only full-service prostate center in Brooklyn, offering the most advanced technology and the most personalized treatment options. Call 888-MMC-DOCS to speak with a Maimonides prostate cancer specialist. That's 888-MMC-DOCS, or go to prostatecenterny.org.
The stars are out for the annual Reb Shlomo Carlebach Tribute Concert on Saturday night, November 9th at the Westside Institutional Synagogue, 120 West 76th Street, Manhattan. The concert stars Yehuda Green, Eitan Katz, and Shruli Williker, with a musical Havdolah by Chaim Kiss. Zev Brenner is the evening's master of ceremonies. Tickets are $35 in advance till November 4th, $50 at the door. VIP tickets are $95. Register online at thecarlebachshul.org.
Return again, return to the land of your soul.
KCN, Talk Line Communications Network Radio, America's number one Jewish program.